get to our guest, Thomas Taw, head of APAC iShares Investment Strategy at BlackRock. Thomas, great to have you with us here on the program. So I'm trying to work this out in my head. The Fed sort of botched it last year, and it's really fighting back now to restore its reputation. So you know there's a danger that they might go too far. But in any case, what's the more powerful force? Inflation rolling over and starting to head down, or the Fed raising interest rates?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, that is obviously the big question that everyone's asking at the moment. You know, I think if we look at the speech that Powell gave on Friday, not a huge surprise, but in terms of how the market reacted to it, it's not so much that we think that the terminal rate will be necessarily that much higher, but it's more in the fact that they're basically pushing back on the pivot. So the expectation that we'll get rate cuts in the second half of the year have somewhat dissipated, and that's obviously had an impact on longer duration stocks. But, you know, for us, this is still very much a supply-driven type of issue, and one that really can't be 100% solved by keeping interest rates very high for very long. So, you know, for us, the danger is that the Fed are sort of choosing to quell inflation at the expense of growth, and that's going to be very hard to sort of back down from over the next 3 to 6 months, as obviously the data is lagging, and as we start to see growth come off, possibly unemployment heading higher. It will be more difficult for the Fed to actually back away from that policy. So I think that's the main concern from us. We are still relatively defensive and have been so during this rally.
Okay, so relatively defensive, and we heard from Neil Kashkari as well saying that the rally you saw from June to August not encouraging. What kind of happens towards the latter part of the year then, in your view?
Well, I mean, for us, as I said, we continue to be relatively defensive. So, you know, if you look at our asset allocations over the next 6 months, we're underweight DM, U.S. equities. We are neutral on Asia ex-Japan, China. So I guess relatively more optimistic on Asian equities, but certainly not that optimistic on DM equities. So, you know, we think that the Fed, possibly other central banks, ECB as well, will likely raise rates by 75 bips at the next meeting. Also, are again sort of choosing to fight inflation at the expense of growth, and that's obviously going to have a big impact on the economy. So, you know, for us, staying defensive, staying short duration on the fixed income side, and picking more defensive type exposures in equity.
But in the end, the Fed is data dependent, so it will be watching the data. And if the data slows, then the Fed will slow.
Yes, so they keep telling us, but that is correct. Yeah, but it obviously is a lag mechanism, right? So, you know, a lot of eyes will be on the NFP this week. Unemployment is obviously very important to the Fed. There is also a big difference if you look at PCE, which they're watching, versus CPI, where you have energy and food prices, which are really the drivers of inflation at the moment. So, yes, they are data dependent, but the data is lagging. And so by the time they look to reverse, maybe second half of next year, then, you know, it might be a little bit too late in terms of GDP growth.
I just mentioned we had a stronger than expected yuan fix for a fifth day from the PBOC, and certainly the impact in Asian currencies as we see the inflation fight by central bankers wreaking quite a bit of havoc and causing some concern that we could see the same as what we saw in 1997. Your view on what China's trying to do here to stem the yuan decline, and I guess your outlook for the China economy too?
Sure. Well, I mean, all eyes are on the seven handle at the moment. But in terms of the outlook on China, it's obviously very difficult to find bullish reasonings for investors to move into that. I mean, over the last couple of weeks, we have seen some optimistic news in terms of the stimulus package that we got. Some good news on ADR delistings possibly being that situation being sort of handled. But all eyes are still on the COVID zero situation. And I think until we get some kind of inkling from the Chinese government that there is some prospect for reopening into next year or a shift away from COVID zero strategy, it seems to me like foreign investors are shying away from Chinese equities and also Chinese bonds. So, you know, no matter what we kind of hear on the economy and stimulus and ADR delisting, until that situation is kind of covered, it's going to be quite difficult for investors to move back into China. So, you know, for us, we're still neutral on Chinese equities. From a longer term perspective, you know, there are reasonings to buy that asset class, but for the short term, still very volatile.
After the Party Congress, it's debatable whether or not Xi Jinping doubles down on his restrictive policies in many areas, tight regulation and such, or whether or not there's a little more of a comfort zone to open up. I think a lot of people would agree with you that there's not a very strong likelihood that COVID policies will be relaxed. But is there at least a chance that perhaps we see less regulation going forward?
I think there's a very strong chance of that. I mean, you know, I've kind of had the same position over the last few months, which is the less the regulators say, the better. I mean, there have been obviously some new implications in terms of the property sector, et cetera. But also one thing that we've been looking at recently is on these heavily regulated impacted companies in the tech sector, actually the earnings have beaten expectations. If you look at companies like Meituan, Tencent, Alibaba, you know, not a lot was expected given COVID lockdowns and tech regulation, but actually earnings have been relatively better than expected. But until we get some shift away from COVID zero policy, that doesn't really matter that much, because we always have the possibility that we'll get further lockdowns, as you were reporting on earlier, and that will obviously impact those companies' bottom line. So everyone is watching that. You know, that speech in October, November, whenever we get it, is going to be very important. I don't think investors are expecting Xi to come out and say we're moving away from COVID zero. But if we get some kind of tiny inkling that maybe, you know, quarantine rules are changing, or, you know, there's some kind of shift in vaccinations or whatever it might be, that could be a possibility for a rally. But until then, you know, I expect it's just going to be volatile as the market sort of moves within a range.
Where we have seen an incredibly fast pivot, though, is in ASEAN. I mean, virtually no restrictions anymore in the likes of Singapore and Thailand. Thailand saying they're expecting to welcome 7.5 million overseas tourists in the second half. Has this reopening theme across ASEAN already been priced in?
I think a lot of it has been priced in. I mean, it's been fairly well documented. You know, Thailand clearly has a very high sensitivity towards tourism, and you know, that's obviously very impactful. ASEAN has done very well this year relative to the rest of the markets. It's something we were kind of looking at as sort of the last COVID rotation trade, in terms of, you know, starting with China and then into the US in 2020, 2021, into Europe, and then finally into ASEAN as kind of the last region to actually move away from that. So a lot of it has been priced in, but, you know, we still need to see the data. So I think investors will continue to buy that, because other regions are still under pressure.
All right, Thomas, always a pleasure. Thank you. Thomas Toh, head of APAC iShares Investment Strategy at BlackRock, joining us from Hong Kong.